This is Jerry DiPiano, and you are listening to the Love Mia Vita podcast. Today, my guest is Allison Blod, who is also a member of our Medical Advisory Council. And Allison, please introduce yourself to our audience. For those of you that haven't already heard her podcasts with me, we have done quite a few, but perhaps Allison, you could share a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Jerry, for having me on your podcast. I'm Allison. I am a registered nutritional therapist and esthetician. And I've been working in the wellness industry and women's health for over 30 years now. I have my own clinic where I specifically specialize in women's health. And women's health, 40 plus, menopause, hormonal health, and beyond. You know, because when we've gone through menopause, we're in postmenopause, so all that area as well. So I really focus my time on specializing in women's health with the help of nutrition, lifestyle modifications and mindset. So it's really what we call lifestyle medicine.
Today, one of the topics that we are going to discuss is bone health in various transitions from puberty to perimenopause through postmenopause and postmenopause, because we want to begin to think about our bone health when we're younger so that we can protect our bones as we age. So, Allison, when should women start to really be concerned about bone and bone health, and how does that change over time?
Yeah, I love what you're saying, Jerry, about, you know, looking after yourself even when you're younger. It's not, we want to keep our bones strong. So when we come into perimenopause, we'll have, you know, our bones will be stronger. We hopefully won't develop osteoporosis. But I was actually looking at some statistics, which were quite alarming about bone health and women. And globally, osteoporosis affects about 200 million women. That's a lot, isn't it?
That's staggering.
And one in two women over the age of 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis during their lifetime. So it's kind of this hidden chronic condition that we don't necessarily know that we're suffering from until we fall over or you know, we get a fracture or something. So if you can look after your bones, even when you're younger, as a teenager, then great. You know, and how do we do that? I mean, it's about what you're eating, it's nutrition, it's lifestyle factors like strength. Like one of the best things you can do for your bone health is to lift things. Do resistance training. There's so much research on that, that if we keep ourselves strong and our muscles strong and lift weights, that really helps to keep your bones strong. But with menopause, that has a big effect because of the hormonal decline. That has a big effect on our bone density. You know, it leads to, or can lead to, quite rapid bone loss because we need estrogen really to keep our bones strong. And women can lose up to 20% of their bone density in the I think it's up 5 to 7 years following menopause. So it really does have an effect on our bones during menopause. But if you can look at your nutrition and really think about getting the key vitamins and minerals that you need to keep your bones strong when you're younger, then, you know, that's fantastic.
I think the statistic that I saw was that the lifetime risk of sustaining an osteoporotic fracture is 50% for women and 20% for men. So we beat men, but that's not a statistic that is meaningful in terms of beating men. We would prefer to see that number be significantly lower, but you're absolutely correct. It's what we do in childhood and in our teens through puberty. And sadly, because we tend to objectify women and women are quote unquote dying to be thin, young women and girls tend to do crazy things like extreme dieting. And that can also have a significant impact on what happens to us as we mature in age if we are not properly nourishing ourselves. And then we also see tendencies to go with 100% vegetarian or vegan diets. And so perhaps we could talk about what we should be thinking about. If you're a mom and you have teenagers, you should be paying attention to this with the way in which your children receive proper nutrition, right? If you were a young woman and perhaps you did terrible things to your body, maybe you were a smoker, maybe you tended to drink a little bit more than you should, maybe you starved yourself at a period of time, which is unfortunately a problem. Eating disorders are not that unique. It's quite prevalent. So perhaps we could talk a little bit about those things and then the transitions into perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause.
Yeah, sure. What we want to think about for bone health, as a teenager, if you've got children at home, as you're a parent, it doesn't have to be complicated. When we look at nutrition, we want to be eating in balance. We want to make sure that we're having all the nutrients that we need. And what eating in balance, what does that mean? Having protein, having your carbohydrates, preferably from vegetables and whole grain products, and then your wonderful healthy fats. That's eating in balance. You don't just want to be eating one of the food groups, you want to be eating them all. Variety is the best way to eat. So, really trying to make sure that your teenagers, I can totally realize that this isn't always easy, is it? Because teenagers eat what they want to eat, but really trying to make sure that when you cook, that you're cooking in balance. So you've got your protein, which could be, if you eat meat or fish or plant-based products like soya, nuts and seeds, then having your carbohydrates. Vegetables actually are carbohydrates, that not many people think about that, but carbohydrates, all a wonderful array of vegetables, and then whole grains. So, like your brown products, like brown rice, quinoa, all of those wonderful fiber-rich whole grains, and then fats. Now, I know fat is a word that we discuss so much, but the research now in nutrition is that we need healthy fats to not just only for our bone health, but for our overall health. Olive oil, nuts and seeds, butter, coconut oil, all of those wonderful healthy fats are what we need. So really making sure that your children are getting all those nutrients on their plate. And then when we look deeper at bone health, there are specific vitamins and minerals that are very key for keeping our bones healthy. And I'm sure everybody's aware that calcium is needed, is really the building blocks of our bones, and it's needed to maintain bone strength. It's in products, dairy products. And I think what I've seen in the years that I've been in nutrition is that people have really come away from dairy products, haven't they? Due to, obviously, if you're lactose intolerant, but in general, I think people aren't using dairy products as much. Where I live in Europe, and people tend to eat more of the plant-based or drink more of the plant-based milks, which is fine, but we just want to make sure that we're still getting calcium, and that is in all your dairy products. A lot of the plant-based products you can buy, milks, can be fortified. Some of them actually fortified with calcium. And then you've got leafy greens, things like kale is a wonderful source of calcium, almonds, chia seeds. So making sure that you're getting calcium is crucial. And we tend to just think of calcium, don't we, when we think of bones? But there are actually a couple of other really key vitamins. Vitamin D. Now, I know vitamin D during COVID, everyone was talking about vitamin D because it is needed for the immune system as well. But what vitamin D does with bone health, it's essential to help the absorption of calcium. So if you haven't got enough vitamin D, even if you're eating enough calcium, it's difficult for your body to absorb that and use it to build the bone and maintain bone if you're deficient in vitamin D. And vitamin D is, it's quite tricky to get enough vitamin D, because it's not in so many things. And especially, particularly if you're a vegan or vegetarian, you know, you almost need to take a supplement because it's in things like oily fish and some fortified foods. Your body produces it by being in the sunlight as well. So if you're lucky enough to live in a climate where it's sunny, then you know, get outside and get some sun. Another key thing for bone, another vitamin is vitamin K2. Now, this is a vitamin that isn't necessarily spoken about very much, but this, you know, it helps again, it helps direct calcium into the bone. It's kind of the vitamin that says, oh, come on now, calcium, this is the way you need to go to get into the soft tissues, to get into the bones, to make the bone strong. So those things, calcium, vitamin D, and vitamin K2, are really the key vitamins that are needed for bone health. So you shouldn't just focus on one of them. You really need to focus on all of them. Spinach, for example, is a good source of vitamin K2. Leafy greens, fermented foods, sauerkraut, you know, you can get vitamin K2 from. Magnesium. Yeah, we can't forget magnesium. I just love magnesium. It's just the most amazing mineral for so many things. But this really helps to regulate calcium and vitamin D levels. And it kind of regulates and makes sure that they're working properly to keep our bones strong. So magnesium, also potassium is very important. That's in a lot of dried fruits. Bananas actually is a great source of potassium. Omega-3 fatty acids, you know, all our wonderful fatty acids that we need for many things, but this can help reduce inflammation and really protect our bones against breakdown because inflammation in the body can contribute to bone loss. And then protein. Yeah, we can't forget protein. This is crucial for bone health and also for keeping our muscles strong. You know, your bones, you don't necessarily think your bones are made up of protein, but they actually are. The significant amount of protein goes into actually, you know, keeping our bones strong. So all of those things are really quite, well, very key to keeping our bones strong. So really making sure that you're getting them. If you eat a varied diet and avoid a lot of these refined, sugary, processed foods, you know, then you should be getting all these nutrients. Because what sugar is, it's kind of a bit what we call like a bone thief. If you're drinking a lot of like fizzy sodas and sugary drinks, that actually they call it leaching. So it sugar makes our system more acidic, and your body doesn't like that. So it'll draw calcium out of your bones to keep the alkaline and reduce the acidity, and we don't want that because that can weaken your bones. So ultra processed foods, not good.
So the thing that I was surprised to learn when I was doing research in advance of our podcast was that adherence to a vegan diet is associated with a higher fracture risk. And obviously, there are a number of folks that are on a vegan diet. I love vegetables. I'm not a strict vegan, but I love vegetables. And then conversely, adherence to a Mediterranean diet is associated with higher total bone mineral density. So let's first start with those who may be listening who are strict vegans. What can they do?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, Jerry. It is. I know when I a lot of the clients that I work with, if they're vegan or vegetarian, you know, we really have to have a discussion because some of the vitamins and minerals that you need are difficult to get in a vegan diet. Because what you have to, even if you're eating, for example, a lot of spinach, we look at vitamin K2 if you're eating spinach. Even though spinach has this in, it's very difficult for your body to be able to utilize it. It's not so biodegradable. It's not, your body can't absorb it as well. So, you know, the amount of spinach that you would need to eat to get the quantity of vitamin K2 is just not realistic. So a lot of clients that are vegan, that, you know, vitamin D is another example, it's very difficult to get that through a vegan diet, would most likely take supplementation of these products. But I think it's very important to make sure, if you are a vegan, that you're very mindful of how you eat and really try to eat it's even more important to eat a varied diet, so you're getting all these crucial vitamins, because vitamin B12 is another one that vegans can be deficient in, and zinc, because of, you know, zinc is it's found oh, it is found in other products, but it's predominantly found in meat.
So it's interesting. What I have read is that women over 50 should consume or should have at least 1,200 milligrams per day of calcium in their diet. So if you're a vegan, thinking about what you consume in terms of calcium, vitamin D may need to be adjusted because you're probably not getting that from the foods that you're eating. And thinking about supplementation, that may also have an impact on the amount of supplementation. Then thinking about the cocktail of supplements. So it could be quite complicated. So what would be your recommendation for individuals that say, well, I'm going to continue with my vegan diet. I'll just take supplements.
First of all, I would say, you know, if you really feel that you want to start taking supplementations, would go and speak to a professional, you know, go to a nutritionist or a dietitian and get that advice that you need, because supplements, it's a minefield. You know, there's a huge array of supplementation. And one thing that you have to remember, if you're just randomly going to start taking supplements, you have to think about the reactions that it has, maybe with medication that you're taking. You know, if you have any underlying chronic illnesses, etc., it's not always beneficial to take supplementations. And also, as you said, Jerry, there are supplementations that kind of counteract each other. You know, everything we want everything to work in harmony. We don't want minerals and vitamins to be kind of fighting against each other. So what I would suggest is try to get what you can from food initially. And then if you really feel that you can't, because of the amount that you would need to eat to get that, talk to somebody, talk to a professional, so you can also get the right dose for you, because we're all individual. It's very difficult to say, you know, a set dose for everybody, because it isn't like that. It really depends on what your diet looks like and how much you actually need. I tend to, with clients, get them to do some testing first, so we can actually see their levels. Because maybe you don't need to take calcium, maybe your calcium levels are fine. But if you don't see that, then you've got nothing to go by.
Great advice. And when we have these conversations during these podcasts, what I always suggest is that this is informational in nature, does not replace the advice of your medical professional, whether that is your nutritionist, your integrative medicine specialist, or your primary care or gynecologist. So good advice. Check with your healthcare practitioner. The diagnostics are very valuable. So have some blood drawn, take a look to see where your levels stand before you make some decisions about supplementation. But if you're missing different components in your diet because you choose to be a vegan, that's cool. Perhaps you want to see a nutritionist to make sure that you're getting everything that you need and that your supplements, if you choose to use supplements, are actually recommended by a professional who knows your health status. Different from a vegetarian, though, and we make the distinction between vegetarian because the vegetarian will perhaps eat eggs, consume dairy, etc. So any advice for or any information that you could share with our audience about vegetarians and how they might think about the appropriate amount of nutrients for their bone health?
Yeah, it's like you say, Joe, it's slightly easier if you're a vegetarian, because, I mean, there's many different, some vegetarians even eat fish occasionally, or you know, they'll eat eggs, they eat dairy. So, you know, if you're eating eggs, if you're eating dairy, then you're going to be consuming more calcium. So you don't necessarily need to be so concerned about that. But things like vitamin D, that certainly for vegetarians can be tricky because it's not really found in many things. Vitamin D is in Europe, it's probably about the only supplement that the government, that the official recommendations recommend that people take as a supplement, everybody virtually, especially when you live in darker climates, because your body can't, you don't get enough sun to produce vitamin D. So that's a thing that I would recommend for vegetarians, is to really have a look at your vitamin D levels and look at, maybe taking a supplement for that. But like I say, do a blood test and see. It's very simple to do. Things like magnesium, which is needed for bone health, a lot of magnesium is found in plant products. So, you most likely will be getting enough of that. And vitamin K2, maybe try to eat, if you don't eat already, fermented foods, things like sauerkraut, kimchi, all of those delicious fermented vegetables contain vitamin K2. And some people eat fermented foods, but some people don't. I think it's just in our culture, isn't it? It depends. If some people don't like fermented foods, but they can. I'm a big fan of kimchi. I think it's delicious. But that is a good way to get in K2. Omega-3 fatty acids. There are, again, that predominantly comes from fatty fish. It is sourced from algae as well. So there are actually some very good vegetarian and vegan supplements that are sourced from algae, if you really, because that, again, that is quite hard to get if you're not eating oily fish. It is in things like nuts and some chia seeds, etc., but it's the amount that you have to eat really isn't realistic. And then protein. I mean, protein is a huge discussion, really, isn't it, on its
Yes.
own, that it can be, and again, with clients, I find it can be tricky for vegetarians to get enough quality protein and all the essential amino acids that we need. And if you're eating soya, if you're eating nuts and seeds, great. But really, really be mindful that you are actually consuming enough protein and the right sources of protein, so you're getting all the amino acids that you need.
So I loved seeing that the Mediterranean diet, we keep hearing this over and over again about the Mediterranean diet. Really, it's a very well-balanced diet that focuses a lot on fruits, vegetables, a lot of fish, not as much red meat, although red meat is still part of a Mediterranean diet, but it really does, it's healthy oils, it's healthy fats, it's vegetables and fruits. And one of the other things that I learned doing some of the research in preparation for this podcast was surprisingly prune consumption blunts postmenopausal bone loss.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Delicious. I love prunes. Yeah, I mean, the Mediterranean diet, isn't it? It's just fantastic. And like you say, there's so much research as well to really back that up, that it is just a very sustainable, healthy way to eat.
So let's talk about what your diet can consist of. So for the moment, we're going to talk about a nice little menu. So starting off maybe at breakfast, what are the things that we can do to start our day off with a great healthy diet, which helps to protect our bones, maybe some lunch, maybe some dinner. I know you have lots of great recipes on your website. And also remember this, that Alison Blaa does nutritional counseling. You don't have to live in Sweden or in the UK. She is British, but she lives in Sweden. And you don't have to live in either in Western Europe. You can avail yourself of her services by checking out her website, alisonblaad.com, Bladh. You'll find her all over the internet. And she'd be more than happy, I'm sure, to counsel you. But Allison, let's talk a little bit about some of the recipes that that you have shared with us in the past, and maybe you could share those with our audience today.
Yeah, I love cooking, so that's a big passion of mine. Yeah, but food for bone health or recipes for bone health. I mean, a very sim I'm very much into simple, realistic cooking as well, because we all haven't got hours to spend in the kitchen. But for example, if we look at a breakfast, chia seed pudding actually is very good for many things, but for bone health, it's a great source of calcium, great source of magnesium. On that, when you make a chia seed pudding, you can actually put into it. I put like sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. You can put some nuts in there, and you can actually make it like the day before, the night before. You can put in if you drink milk, you can put just good old full fat milk in there, or use a plant based milk, depending on what you prefer, and then top it with some. Like blueberries or strawberries, some sort of berries, really delicious, quick breakfast. And overnight, I'm also a big fan of overnight oats because it's so easy. I just have this constant bowl in my fridge that myself and my family eat, and it's oats, nuts, loads of seeds, chia seeds, sesame seeds, linseed, everything in there. And you just put how much you want to eat in the morning and eat that. And it contains so many great vitamins and minerals that really boost bone health amongst other things. So
Or
that's
just
breakfast.
yogurt. I mean, yogurt is always a good or a good source of both protein. If you eat Greek yogurt and you throw some fruit in there, you could do a banana with it. So most of us here at Fem Pharma will do yogurt, Greek yogurt, and a banana, or Greek yogurt and some fruit, and you get some protein, about 12 grams of protein. You get some additional benefit from the banana or the fruits. You get some fiber in there, so that's an easy one.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, the Greek yogurt's just delicious, isn't it? And like you say, so easy. You can throw in a bit of fruit, nuts, seeds, whatever. Yeah, yogurt's great and a good source of calcium.
So if you don't have a lot of prep time, grab some Greek yogurt. And then, of course, for those of us that are still in the working world, and quite a few of us still are, we think about what we can do at lunch. We don't want to just grab anything. We want to be very mindful. So I think about food and food prep as very strategic. So lunch is a big deal.
Yeah, and if you can, I'm not saying everybody can do this, but try to do or take your lunch from home. So you prepare what you've prepared and then you take it to work. Cook in bulk. So, if you're the dinner that you made the night before, cook extra so you can have that for lunch. It's delicious and it's really simple. Lunch ideas. I think salads are just so delicious, aren't they, for lunch? They work, they're easy. You don't necessarily need to warm them up. Having a salmon salad, a piece of salmon with some lovely lettuce or kale, some tomatoes, cucumber, and then toss on some pine nuts, I think are delicious. Pine nuts or sunflower seeds. Olive oil with a little bit of balsamic vinegar. Perfect lunch because you've got your protein source, you've got your healthy fats, and you've got your carbohydrates from vegetables.
And
And
if
the
you are if you're vegetarian, tofu, throw some
yeah,
tofu.
tofu. You've got tempeh. I mean, you've got like falafel. Nuts and seeds. Your main a very good source of protein is tofu. I think a lot of vegans, vegetarians tend to eat a fair amount of soya because it's such a good source of protein.
And it has other benefits too. So if you have to be perimenopausal or postmenopausal, it can also, because it is a phytoestrogen, you are getting a little bit of a benefit there. Perhaps it has a little bit of an impact on those hot flashes and some of the other postmenopausal symptoms and perimenopausal symptoms that you may be experiencing. And then dinner, when we think about dinner prep, I love the idea of thinking ahead and being mindful of the fresh ingredients. We just came back from Italy and they go to the market every day and they buy fresh ingredients, which makes such an impact. We probably ate more pasta than I've eaten in my lifetime. And yet I lost weight while I was in Europe and feel so much better. We're having all the fresh fruits, vegetables, and but it was mindful prep time. So a day before, the individual that was cooking for us would ask us what we were thinking about for dinner, and we'd have surprise, voila, the fresh ingredients.
Yeah, they're so passionate, aren't they, about cooking in Italy, and the fresh ingredients is just fantastic. And if you have that opportunity to go to a market and buy vegetables or the products that you're going to eat, it's just amazing, isn't it? It tastes just fantastic. But dinner, like you say, Joe, it's all about thinking. You have to be prepared. Otherwise, you put yourself in that situation when you come home from work, you're tired. You don't have time to cook, or you're just exhausted. You'll maybe grab something, or you'll get a takeaway that maybe isn't so beneficial for your health. So, I mean, dinner recipes. I do a lot of what we call one pan dinners because they're just so simple. You basically have your protein source, which could be chicken if you eat meat. It could be some sort of white fish. And then you have this in the pan, and then you basically chop up all the vegetables that you want. You can use asparagus, green beans. You can put some tomatoes in there, maybe some Brussels sprouts. You can just put any sort of vegetables around your protein sauce. Put some herbs, fresh herbs over there, some olive oil or coconut oil, and just put it in the oven for 20 minutes. But that's it. I've got women that absolutely hated cooking. They would never go in the kitchen. And when I introduced them to one pan dinners, they said I changed their life because they actually cook now. Chop it all up, put it in a pan in the oven for 20 minutes, and it comes out and it's delicious and easy to do. And make enough so you can have that for lunch the following day.
It's like roasting vegetables too, if you're not interested in doing anything on the stove. So, chicken cacciatore is an easy one. So, take your chicken thighs and throw it in a pan with some olive oil and chop up your vegetables and put some tomato sauce in there and some spices, whatever you like. I overload with the garlic, but you don't have to do the garlic. You can do rosemary, you can do basil, but that's an easy one. It is a one pan meal and it's loaded with great nutrition. But you can also roast vegetables in the oven and you can do that with salmon or you can do that with some other type of protein source. If you're a red meat person, maybe you can chop up some steak and put that in there as well. But there, I love the idea of one pan meals. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too. It's just, and it's delicious. It's easy and delicious, that and nutritious. That's perfect.
Absolutely. So I think we've covered a lot of territory. What are the three or four points that you want to leave with our audience in terms of bone health and nutrition?
The key three things. The first one would be to do some sort of weight-bearing exercise. Find something that works for you. It doesn't mean that you have to go to the gym. You can lift things at home. I have, for example, by my kettle, some dumbbells, because I'm British and drink a lot of tea. So these dumbbells are by the kettle. So every time I put the kettle on, while the kettle is boiling, I lift them. Really simple, easy way. And if you're doing that a couple of times a day, then it mounts up. So finding something that works for you, that would be my key thing. Eating a balanced, nutritious diet and avoiding as much as possible. I appreciate it's not easy in the society, the food environment that we live in, but avoiding ultra processed foods that are loaded with sugar. And then real like bone stealers that aren't necessarily beneficial for your bone. bones are limiting alcohol, caffeine. Can if you have a higher intake of caffeine, that can be detrimental for bone health, and smoking. Those three things really, if you avoid them or do them in moderation, you're really going to give your bone health a boost.
So I like the idea of the weight-bearing exercise. I know we didn't speak a lot about it because that's not necessarily the focus of this podcast, but I'm chuckling because one of my weight-bearing exercises when my daughter was just a little girl is I would bench press her.
Ah, brilliant.
And she was still so for the younger women here, or perhaps if you happen to have grandchildren and you have little grandchildren that maybe weigh 20 or 30 or 40 pounds, lifting them up and playing with them, be careful, obviously, moms. But that it's a simple exercise. The kids have a lot of fun, and so will you. Carry your grocery bags instead of putting them in the cart and carrying them out if you can. So just really simple things. We know that running is a weight-bearing exercise too. So if you're still in physical shape and you can run, a little bit of running, provided that you check with your healthcare practitioner and it's safe to do that. But those are some of the very simple things. Putting some dumbbells by your kettle. I love that. That's a great idea. I don't have a kettle, but I'll find a place to put the dumbbells in my kitchen. So while I'm cooking, I can do, maybe 8 or 10 reps, and then do that 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah, it adds up. Those little small kind of they call them exercise snacks, just small little bits that you can do when you're waiting for something, or it all mounts up really if you do them daily.
I love that. It's great advice. It's very simple. And I'm sure we can all find a few minutes during our day to infuse those. So you heard it from Alison Blaude, who's a nutritionist and esthetician, and she does a number of different podcasts with us. One of the ones that she does is also on beauty, which I love. So check it out. And please do check out other podcasts on Love Mia Vita, and also visit our website at www.fempharma.com. Alison Blaude, thank you so much for taking the time to be my guest on the Love Mia Vita podcast. And for all of our listeners, remember, stay well and love Mia Vita.